Today is July 8th, and we're in the middle of the mitzvah of not breaking a bone on the Korban Pesach. We just yesterday discussed the famous Sefer Achinuch, where he discusses a very common theme in his Sefer, which is Ha'adam Nifal Kefi Pu'loisav, that a person is affected by his external actions and even the environment around him has a tremendous effect on him, that we know. But his own actions very much will influence him, and that's why the Rabbeinu Shleilam Lefikach Hir B'lehem Torah Mitzvahs, that's his take on that chazal, that the Rabbeinu Shleilam gave us a multitude of mitzvahs, especially pertaining to the remembrance of Yetzias Mitzrayim, as we've seen in many of the mitzvahs that we dealt with till now, where he says the purpose of this mitzvah is to remember the Nisim that happened in Yetzias Mitzrayim. And as we've discussed at great length, how fundamental that lesson is, and hence it's extremely important to remember it. And what he's saying now is that it's not sufficient to have one or two mitzvahs. One should have as many mitzvahs as possible to have those reminders, so that in many different ways we're stimulated to remember and to be aware of what the Rabbeinu Shlom did for us on a daily basis. In fact, we have a mitzvah to remember Kol Yimei Chayecha, the days and the nights, and that's obviously a reflection of how fundamental those mitzvahs are, or how fundamental that emunah is. We've discussed at great length how that reflects on us in general, and how that reflects on our mitzvahs, and how that will eventually, that is a stepping stone to the final geula, which was represented by the Parah Aduma, and so on. So we just have here, we'll take a little bit of a step to the side, we have here in the box there of the scan is a piece from Rav Hirsch, who has, in his unique way, always, and this time I insisted on scanning the English because the Hebrew was just totally off the charts. So here he says like this, a very interesting thought. When you look at this mitzvah, as we mentioned before, the mitzvah of Etzem Leisish Berubai, that you shouldn't break a bone in the body of the Korban Pesach, seems to be somewhat of an unusual mitzvah. Why should Hashem really mind? We had the understanding that Barbanel, that it's a way to offer respect to this holy carbon, to this important carbon. And we had, of course, the idea of the chinuch, that it's the way of, it's not just the chinuch, it's really many rishonim, that it's the way of poor people to be eating the last, you know, bits of the bones and so on. Keep it whole, not, you know, eat like a mensch, eat in a respectable manner, and that is a reflection of our freedom and our nobility at this time. So here he says like this, refers to giving another dimension here of the mitzvah, and he says the following. An offering consists primarily of the blood and the muscular flesh. That is the active part of the animal. The bones comprise only the passive part, the supporting framework. Like it says, V'asisa l'secha basar v'adam. The whole essence of an offering, as we had mentioned in the past from Rav Hirsch, is the surrender of one's being and one's willful activity. That we know, that an offering is really a person, there are Yehiratzins that we say sometimes, that it should be your will, that it's as if we're offering ourselves as a carbon. We're surrendering our being and one's willful activity. He who partakes in the Pesach offering recovers his own self. This is something we explained in depth earlier from Rav Hirsch. And eating the Pesach offering represents the personality recovering its freedom. Remember the words of Rav Hirsch way back, he said something along the lines of, what else is freedom a value? What else spells freedom other than, or more than, regaining one's ability to free choice and to living one's life, hopefully in the way that in the way of the service of the Rabbeinu Shalom. To be free to do that, to do what your neshama really, really wants, the persecution that the Jewish people have suffered over the years is basically not having the freedom to exercise what we really want to do, what our neshama truly, truly wants to do, which is serve the Rabbeinu Shalom. That bondage and that golus that we're in till this very day, are we free to do mitzvahs? We are. But the influence of the goyim today is so strong We don't have to elaborate on that. But the influence is so strong that, in a sense, it really isn't much of a freedom. So on the surface, perhaps, it might look like we're free to do our mitzvahs, but we're so inundated by messages from the outside that it's really, in a sense, we're not able to live in the environment that we really, really would like to live in, which would be absolute purity and absolute service of the Rabbeinu Shalom. By the Pesach, what we regained was the freedom to be able to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom. It began our nationhood in a way where we were able to receive the Torah, we were able to then dedicate ourselves to live in this bubble of the Anan Yakovod, of the clouds of glory, and be able to receive the Torah and have a Mishkan with as the central focus of the Jewish people. And it was absolute, just a spiritual existence, the man, etc. That was all that we gained by the Korban Pesach, or by the right beginning with the Korban Pesach. So therefore he says like this, the recovery of freedom relates primarily to the basar, to the flesh, which is the active aspect of one's personality. Bound up with the basar is, which is the mevasar sanefesh, are the atzamis. What role if the flesh and the blood represent the active part of the person, so what role do the bones represent? And if we understand what role the bones represent, then we can understand why Hashem asked us not to break them, this unusual mitzvah. The bones represent the means placed at the disposal of activity. The bones do not represent the personality, but the means placed at the disposal of the personality, as long as the bones are connected. Oh, therefore, basically, he'll say in a moment, it's the framework. It gives you the wherewithal to stand up. But the actual activity that's being done is representative of the flesh and the blood. That's not the bones. And therefore, the following. As long as the bones are connected to the flesh, they represent not activity, but the means that enable activity. So the bones give us the ability to exercise our energy, or in this case, it would be the service of Hashem. And as long as the basar represents free, willful activity dedicated to God, that is to say, as long as the basar is tahar, there is value also in the means that facilitates this activity, and they too may not be destroyed. Once the means are detached from the holy personality, the means are worthless. But as long as the means are utilized with personality in purity and holiness, they share in the personality's free and moral life. Thus the halacha, ein bo kezayis basar, if there's no kezayis, olive size of flesh on the bone, ein bo mishum shviras etzem, then there's no transgression of breaking a bone, nor if it's tame, ein bo mishum shviras etzem. If it's ritually unclean, also, there is no breakage of the bone. In other words, the verse is saying a beautiful thing. He's saying, if we view the flesh and the blood, as we can well understand, is symbolic of the activity and the energy being carried out in the service of the Rabbeinu Shalom, then we view the bones as the framework that allows us to carry that out. It gives us the stature, it gives us the ability to stand up, it gives us the framework to carry out. But is it in itself, innately, something that should be viewed as holy? No. But if it's there as a help, as a vehicle to allow us to carry out our, then it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And this is something we see all over the place. But the way he sees this as a reflection in the mitzvos, in the laws of the mitzvos, as his one of the most beautiful things about the Pirush of Hirsch is he brings out from the laws the little minute details, the minutia of the mitzvahs itself. It seems like, you know, little particular details like why did it, you know, it seems arbitrary. The Rabbeinu Shalom deliberately taught us to have these specific restrictions or allowances because they reflect the greater idea behind the mitzvah. Here, if in fact the bones represent something that is a support to our activity of the service of the Rabbeinu Shalom, then so long as the bones have some flesh which represent the activity, then it's playing a supportive role. You can't break it. You can't destroy it. If the carbon is tamei, it's not playing a supportive role in the service of the Rabbeinu Shalom because it's tamei. So the lesson of this mitzvah is very different than what we've seen till now, is don't break the bones, meaning even something that's playing a supportive role in helping us serve the Rabbeinu Shalom is crucial and cannot be destroyed. and cannot be misused. And that's one of the reasons why the body retains a certain degree of holiness even after a person passes away. You could say it's tameh, you could say, but in a certain sense, one has to treat it with utmost respect because for so many years, it provided that supportive role. We find this, we're coming up to the summertime right now, many, many people who are much more active, be it in Torah learning, be it in doing mitzvos, come summertime and they take a little bit of a break. The question is, how do you conduct yourself during that break? Are you yippee, I don't have to engage in Torah study as many hours as I want? Or is it, now's the time to refresh ourselves, deliberately take what we call Yerid Deshid Zerach Aliyah, take a break, take a refreshment, and the intention is to regain your strength. So you come back and you serve the Rabbi Shalom with greater B'yeser Seis, with greater vigor. Is that your intention? And if that's your intention, then the fact that you're learning less and relaxing more right now, that's Kodesh. That's playing a supportive role for your service in the future. And that's symbolized in this mitzvah. Don't destroy the bones. Don't break the bones. Don't abuse the bones. That also could be extremely important. I remember last year, I believe it was last year. Last year or 2 years ago, there was a situation in Eretz Yisrael where it was, maybe there was a war in the middle of the summer. Is that, that's a couple of years ago? 2-3 years ago? I forget when. It was right in the middle of the summer. And there was an 06, but it was, I think last year there were rockets maybe in the middle of the summer. It coincided with what we would call Bein Hazmanim for the yeshivas, and the time that usually the yeshivas would go on break. And there was a motion among some of the Gedalim, some of the great leaders in Eretz Yisrael, that the yeshivas should, this year, they shouldn't go on break. They should learn straight through Bein Hazmanim. It's a wonderful thing, the power of the Torah, the protection of the Torah, beautiful. Shema Yisrael. Why is the Rabbi Shalom protect Klal Yisrael? Ha'imrim Shema Yisrael. Ha'miyachdim Shimcha. The Rabbi Shalom protects us because of the emuna that we have, because of the Torah that we learn. The Torah is a tremendous protection. And so, great idea. Let's learn straight. We'll have the power of the Torah. So Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, he should be well. He said, absolutely not. Why? His view of Bein Hazmanim is that it's playing a supportive role to the Zman. You're going to come back to Elul and you're going to learn straight through Bein Hazmanim. You come to Elul and you're not going to have any relaxation, any refreshment, and you're as tired and worn out as you were even more a few weeks ago. Well, then the break that you're taking is Kodesh Kodashim. The purpose of it is to be able to propel you forward, to you should work harder. So then is this a negative thing or it's a positive thing? Depends what you're doing with your Bein Hazmanim. Depends what you're doing with your vacation. Are you doing that for what purpose? I still remember several years ago, the great Mir Rosh Hashiva, Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel. One of the things they used to do is they used to go on a trip up north with many of the Talmidim, probably hundreds of Talmidim. In my day when I was in the Mir, they didn't do this. But he used to take hundreds of students and go up north to a hotel. And they had a Shabbos there, and they used to sing a lot of Zemiras and so on. I would imagine that it resulted in somewhat less learning over that span of time. I would imagine. Not only that, he would enjoy when he was there watching the boys play and watching the boys, relax. In fact, there's a famous picture in the book that they put out on Reb Nosson Tzvi. I don't know if you've seen the book. But there in the book is a picture of him sitting and watching a chess game that a couple of boys are playing. And it became a very famous picture. And it's an unbelievable message. He was being wheeled through amongst the Talmidim in one of the times of, relaxation. And he saw on the side that there were a couple of boys playing. So he asked his grandson, it was William, he said, do you mind? Ask those boys if they mind if I come to watch. He came and he watched, and someone snapped a picture. It became a famous picture. But the message that he gave the boys is, this is important. Why are you doing this? You're doing this to run away from learning, or you're doing this to relax so that you'll be able to be refreshed? If you're doing it for that purpose, then it's extremely important. That's playing a supportive role. This is Kodesh Kodashim. Now, I take great pride in that story, first of all, because it has to do with what we're doing, saying here now, but also because that very famous picture, one of the boys playing the chess game is actually my brother. Not only is he my brother, he's that fellow sitting there in the back.
Are you so, chess?
Okay, I asked him what his only regret, does he have any regrets from the story? And he said, yes, I regret that the Rosh Hashiva didn't stay around long enough to watch me win the game. Okay, is that right? You told me that, right? Okay. In any case.
There's a story I heard where two big rabbis, they would play chess one day a year, December 25th.
Yes. In fact, I would begin that story with the words, once upon a time. Okay, I'm sorry about that. All right, that's bad. Okay, but that's a beautiful refersh to first of all, give meaning to this unusual mitzvah of why not bring a bone. The answer is the bone represents the support of anything that supports the learning of Torah is Kodesh Kodashim. In fact, the Gemara says that about the woman's role as far as Talmud Torah, that they support their husbands and their children, and so on, and that is Kodesh Kodashim. Okay, and now, really, the next thing that we're going to learn, which is the Ramban, is in line with the Chinuch's idea of having many mitzvos to commemorate, to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. This Ramban is actually at the end of Parshas Boy, and I have to tell you that I once heard from a student of Rabbi Cheskel Levenstein, the great Mir Mashgiach, that Rabbi Cheskel Levenstein ended up, he was also a Mashgiach in Ponovitch Yeshiva. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Rucham Lubavitz. Rabbi Cheskel Levenstein, when he would speak, one of his Talmidim told me, he almost never went through a shmuz, in front of everybody, without mentioning something from this Ramban and the Parshas Boy. It was like almost a weekly, he could give a shmuz once a week, he would almost always mention something from this Ramban. And this Ramban goes very much in line with that chinuch. The Ramban says like this, famous words, V'yata, I'm going to tell you a general rule in the reason behind many mitzvos. From the time that there was avodah zarah in the world, people would distort the faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Some of them entirely disregarded Hashem and did not believe in Hashem. Some would deny that he has an awareness, hapratis, he has a specific awareness, maybe he created the world but he's not involved. He's quoting a pasuk, how is it possible that he's aware? That he knows but he doesn't get involved. And he makes human beings, so to speak, like the fish in the water, that there's no very specific intervention on the part of the Rabbi Shalom. The Rabbi Shalom is totally uninvolved in the world, some of them say. Many different levels, different types of people who deny the Rabbi Shalom's hashgacha pratis on us humans in the world. Hashem has, even Haman said that. Where are that? Haman said, Hashem is old. Don't worry about him. He took care of the Jewish people for a while, but he's gotten old. You know, he's retired, not so involved, not so interested anymore. But when Hashem comes along and he expresses his interest and his choosing of a particular people and does for them a maifis, he does for them a miracle, against the ways of the teva, of the ways of natural occurrences, what does he do with that? That is the remedy to all those people who are misguided, as we mentioned before. All those misguided people, Hashem counteracts it with miracles. Yizbar lakol bitul hadeyas ha'ela kulam. The Rebbeinu Shlom, with one miracle, could destroy all the false ideals and all the false ideologies in the world. Because a miracle where he changes the natural course of events, and you see that it's very deliberate, he does a miracle for a particular person or for a particular people, that shows, like he says, split the Yam Suf. What does that show? The natural course of events is that water should flow freely and doesn't freeze up and doesn't, and particularly at the time when the Jewish people were standing there and Nachshon jumped in, and right at that moment, that's when, you know, Moshe picked up his hand, that's when it's split. So he's refuting all those false ideologies. Kashayia hamayfes ahu nigzar tchila mipinavi, and all the more so if there was a pre-warning that this was going to happen by a prophet. Yizbar mimenu oyd amidas hanavua. It would include in that not just the existence of Hashem and his constant and micromanagement of this world, but also the belief in the veracity of the Nevi'im and of the prophets and their prophecies. Ki yedaber lekimis ha'adam v'yigla seidei el avodav ha'Nevi'im v'tiskayim imzeh ha'Torah kula. So through miracles, the Rabbeinu Shalom is so easily able to wipe away all the false ideas in the world. Which then brings us to the famous question of, so then why not do it today? The real truth is that he does miracles all the time. It's just a question of opening up our eyes and seeing it. You know, I have my wife has a great uncle who was in the U.S. Army. And he was, he got a Purple Heart. He was over in the Second World War. He was severely injured. He was hit in the mouth by a bullet. Ready for this? A split second before the bullet hit him, he raised his hand to itch his nose, something. And at that moment, the bullet pierced his hand and went through into his mouth. But the fact that his hand was there, it prevented the bullet from piercing his brain. He had surgeries and all sorts of stuff, and he was in the hospital for a long time. But Baruch Hashem, he survived, and then he had a wonderful family. Actually, his family lives up in the Northeast. You know the Press family?
Sure.
Jay Press and Michael Bohm's wife,
Sherry
and... who else is there? Sammy Press was a son of his.
Father?
Yes. Yes. Eddie Press. Eddie Press was my wife's great uncle. He was in the army. He put his hand. I mean, tell me, is that not a miracle? A split second before he puts his hand up in this. So what does that show you? The Rebbe Shem wanted that this person should live and he should have a beautiful family. He should survive. And some people, sadly, the Rebbe Shem chose otherwise for in his infinite wisdom. But the idea is that when the Rebbe Shem shows these sort of things, that you can, it's irrefutable. You can't just, you know, when it happens to... So the idea is that he does these miracles. We have to look out for them. But he doesn't do it on such a grand scale as in the old days. And the question is, why not? You have a convention of atheists. He should have a stroke of lightning that should come in and turn a corner and turn a second corner and hit the billboard, you know, with the flashing, you know, display. And they're like, you know, God doesn't exist. You know, gone. You're like, so why not? It's a good question, right? The Ramban will ask this question in a moment. And therefore, because the purpose of these miracles is to show us that the Rebbeinu Shlom is there and he's in control. So therefore the Pasuk says, L'man teida ki ani Hashem bekerav ha'aretz. The purpose of the miracles is so that Hashem, that you should know that I am the Rebbeinu Shlom bekerav ha'aretz. I'm right in the middle. I'm right in the middle of everything, in the thick of things. L'hayreiz al hashgacha. This is a display of Hashem's management of the world, intricate management of the world. Ki lo azav oysa l'mikrim kedaitam. Hashem didn't allow the world, didn't give up the world to happenstance. They'll leave everything as is. The purpose is that you should know that Hashem owns the world. Hashem constantly refreshing the world. That everything in the world is his and he created them from nothing. It says in the Pasuk, so you should know that there is no one like me in the land. Many psukim like this. So it's that he owns it, that he created it, that he's able to. He has dominion over everything and controls it. No one could prevent him. In all these ideas, was he involved? Did he create it? Is he in control? Does he care? So these great miracles are eidim ne'emanim. trustworthy testimony, be'emunas ha'borei, in the faith of the Creator, u'b'tayra kulan, in the Tayra kulan. Now look what he says, these words. Are we running out of time? What time is it? Let's just start these words. These words. You could emboss these words and place it in a frame and hang it up on your wall. Ubavur ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yasa ois u'mayfes b'chol dar. And because the Rebbeinu Shem will not do these sort of miracles to every generation, la'enei kol rasha ekeifer, into the eyes of every Tom, Dick, and Harry. But it's not just Tom. In front of any rasha or any keifer, any heretic. Therefore, Yitzava Eisanu, therefore he commanded us, Shenaset Tamid, we should constantly do Zikarein, the ice, we should constantly have remembrances and signs, Lashero Einenu, to that which our own eyes saw. Vinatik HaDavar El Boneinu, and we should then transfer it over to our children, Ubeneim LeBeneim, Ubeneim LeDarachrein, and on, each generation. Vehichmir Be'oid Be'inyan Hazeh. And he was very stringent with this. Person eats chametz. It's such a stringent thing. What big deal? So I ate a piece of chametz. No, karis. Why? Because this is pivotal. This is fundamental to the existence and the faith of the Jewish people. Ubazivas haPesach, or person doesn't do the Pesach, he gets karis. Why? Why is it so severe? The answer is it's so important. Vahatzarech. Not only we should remember with the mitzvahs of Pesach, but also we should write it on the mezuzahs of our doorways. Every morning, every night, we should mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. All these reminders. We should also make a sukkah every year. The whole purpose of this is that we should have reminders in the great wonders that Hashem did for us, which refuted all the false ideas. And therefore there should not be a pischein peh. Means a person shouldn't have the ability to open his mouth against to the heretics, shouldn't be able to make their false claims. We're going to stop right here, but there's a lot to say about this, obviously. But the question is also why this really is effective till this very day. I mean, so some will say you saw something 3,000, 4,000 years ago, big deal. Why does that prove it, you know, and so on. So we'll have to get to that. But the idea is that Ramban is revealing to us not just that it's important to have, like the Chinuch says, but in line with the Chinuch. The Chinuch says we need many, many reminders because that has an effect on us. But more so, he's saying, the Ramban, that's the structure of the Torah. At one point, the Rabbeinu Shalom gave us a blitz of proof, many proofs, to the fact that he's involved, that he created the world, that he's in control, and so on, and he cares, and we then have a duty to, every subsequent year or every subsequent day, to consistently remind ourselves of these great miracles, which deny the claims of the heretics, and that is the purpose of why we have so many mitzvahs in so many different ways. It's for this purpose. We'll Bez Hashem discuss this at greater length when we get back next week. Okay.